Turkey, Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. I'm really here. I wasn't going to let the drum loop just, you know, run on ad infinitum. No. I'm here. You're there. We're together. We're just not exactly sure what is going on. If, you know, at the beginning of the program every evening, I invite folks to come in and hang out in the chat room. Tell them that they need to go to headonradionetwork.com and they need to click on chat room, pick out a screen name and a password, and talk about how they'll be welcomed by Anatole and Don from Central PA and Steve from Georgia, Stan, VT Blom, and all capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky. Which is all true tonight as well. You could post a topic in the chat room, and Sparky has taken care of that this evening by posting the following. Little Donnie's press conference. What the f*** was that? And meanwhile, Carol Baker, Queen of the Minions, says, I'm still not over the f***ing press conference. I don't think any of us are. Somebody called, reached out, some anonymous Republican member of the United States Senate, reached out to, I think it was Jake Tapper, in the immediate aftermath of the Trump, I mean, Christ almighty, was it even a press conference? And said, you know, he really needs to be working this out with a psychiatrist instead of doing it in front of the American people. Well, I agree. But in that little, oh, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. In that little exchange, that wee tiny statement is encapsulated all our troubles. That statement in turn seems to confirm what Al Franken said to Bill Maher last week, to the extent that there are even Republican senators who are seriously in doubt of the mental health of Donald J. Trump. So the next question becomes, come out, wherever you are. Because it's all meaningless until somebody is willing to stand behind it. I mean, everything, I'm sure that everything that man said, to one degree or another, he believes. And in watching it, this was just one of my impressions out of many. It's kind of like just, I don't know, flicking brushes full of paint at a canvas. I mean, impressionism. I was reminded of something that I've been saying for years and years and years and years. I'm not sure how long I've been saying it, but I know it's a lot of years. That I have said that the word believe is the most dangerous word in the English language. Because it permits a rejection of knowledge. It accords a denial of reality. A lot of times we talk about how dangerous the word believe is in terms of in terms of religion. But it doesn't always have to be that way. In this case, it isn't. In this case, it is a... I am no clinician, but I think if I was to get a clinician on the phone, that person would say, yeah, if you believe things to be real that are demonstrably not real under anything except religious terms, that's a sign of a compromise of mental health. And that's where we are with Donald J. Trump. I've got the entire goddamn press conference, an audio recording of it. And we can go through that. Oh, by the way, I was so anxious to get into the topicality of it. Let me just update fundraising real quick. This is a listener-supported broadcast. And at present, thanks to our thanks to two subscribers and Catherine, I can proudly announce that our fundraising goal for the evening is not as bad as it could be. It is at $320. That's it. $320. One at $320. Two at $160. Four at $80. Eight at $40. 16 at $20. 32 at $10. 64 at $5. 128 at $250. So, if you want to help out, headonradionetwork.com, and the PayPal interface is under the tab Contribute. And, okay, the topic has now been changed in the chat room to Don't Make Our Ears Bleed, Bob, which apparently is a request that I not actually play the audio of Comrade Kumquat and his zany, wacky, madcap press conference thingy. Well, let's see how we do with fundraising. Oh, yeah, I know. Thereby tying fundraising to whether or not I make you listen to Peachy Pasha. Clever, huh? But no, it... The question becomes one of, you know, like that anonymous Republican senator, what's it going to take for them to come out of the closet? I mean, does everything have to be done in whispers? Are we that far gone? I guess we'll have to wait and see. As Carol Baker points out, if I invited all of you over to my home for a press conference, and I told you all to bring your cameras, and then I started telling you, telling out-and-out lies to the cameras about you, wouldn't your reaction be to turn the cameras off and let me talk to the walls? Oh. I think we have a bumper for the evening. Press, turn the fucking cameras off. Stop reporting on anything he says unless you're reporting on things he actually does or leaks that are reported or provable facts. Stop giving him the free and open access. I don't even blame 45 for today. I know he's nuts. Press, what's your excuse? He used you like a cheap whore for over a year, and now he stands up and tells the world what people of low moral character you are because you're nothing but whores. Stop putting out. As Jesus once supposedly said, go forth and sin no more. Yeah. I'm in agreement. Because it was pitiable. And one knows hardly where to start. Except to say that if you were worried about our country, then you have cause to be more worried this evening, right now, about our country than you have ever been worried before. Plain and simple. Because, not to give you nightmares or anything, that guy has the power to roast the planet on a whim or a tantrum or a hallucination. Anybody ready to run screaming into the night yet? I know. Because I am. Earther, sin no more, said the raven evermore. Oh, dear, we're into poetry this early, are we? Apparently, yes. And the thing is, the madness of that press conference extended across, like, time and space. It covered a wide range of topics. He said, for instance, that he had given thought to blowing that Russian spy ship, you know, the one that's about a few miles off the coast of the United States right now and has been for a few days, out of the water. Mm-hmm. Asa, different Asa. Mental health? Just reading this today. And directs our attention to a post at Scientific American, scientificamerican.com. Psychiatrists debate weighing in on Trump's mental health. And it's a discussion of a long-standing code of ethics that is supposed to prohibit diagnosing public figures from afar. But it's almost irresistible, isn't it? Meanwhile, Brother Deacon Asa, You know, we're only one ASA away from a fraternity of ASA. Brother Deacon Asa up in far Canada says, press conference? That was a fucking dumpster fire. I'm hard pressed to disagree. But jumping, Jesus H. Christ. That was terrifying. April Ryan, a real live, honest to God reporter, stood up to, and she is a woman of color, African American. She stood up to ask the Mango Mussolini when he planned to sit down and have a little conversation with the Congressional Black Caucus. Which seemed to completely take Trump by surprise. And he responded to her, do you know him? You want to set up the meeting? I'd love to have a meeting. Because, you know, she's bound to know the Congressional Black Caucus because, you know, she's black like they are and all black people know each other. Whew! Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what? I don't know. I may just with the amount of insanity that is washing over us, I may open the phones early this evening because we're gonna have to work through this because there's a lot of people out there who are probably saying to themselves, I need to talk about this. I don't know. Maybe. It was as if April Ryan had asked him when he was going to mediate peace between the Crips and the Bloods. Well, do you know him? You want to set that meeting up? No, Arthur, you need something that begins with the letter B. If you're going to go with Berlusconi. And I think that might be a little too vague anyway. Because this thing was a tissue of lies and falsehoods and outright misstatements of fact. He dragged Representative Elijah Cummings of Maryland into the discussion. During the press conference, as a result of April Ryan's question, Trump said, let's go set up a meeting. I would love to meet with the Black Caucus. I think it's great. The Congressional Black Caucus. I think it's great. I actually thought I had a meeting with Congressman Cummings, and he was all excited. And then he said, well, I can't move. It might be bad for me politically. I can't have that meeting. I was all set to have the meeting. You know, we called him and called him, and he was all set. I spoke to him on the phone. Very nice guy. He wanted it, but we called, and can't make a meeting with him. Every day I walk and say I would like to meet with him because I do want to solve the problem. But he probably was told by Schumer or somebody like that, some other lightweight. He was probably told, don't meet with Trump. It's bad politics. That statement by itself is enough to get you one of the jackets with the really long sleeves that that wrap around back. Yeah, Steve from Georgia standpoint, in the words of Hank Hill, that boy ain't right. That boy ain't right. Well, no sooner was that out of the gob of Marcus Aurelius then Representative Cummings said, I have no idea why President Trump would make up a story about me like he did today. Of course, Senator Schumer never told me to skip a meeting with the president. I was actually looking forward to meeting with the president about the skyrocketing price of prescription drugs. What I've been doing for the past several weeks is working closely with my partner on these efforts, Senator Bernie Sanders. My goal was to finalize our proposed proposal to allow HHS to negotiate lower drug prices so I could present it to the president. The president has said many times that he supports this proposal, so I wanted to have our bill ready to get his support. I also sincerely have no idea why the president made this claim in response to an unrelated question about the Congressional Black Caucus. I'm sure members of the CBC can answer these questions for themselves. The skyrocketing price of prescription drugs is an issue that affects every American family, not just people of color, and I hope the president will make good on his promise to finally allow HHS to negotiate lower drug prices on behalf of American families. I look forward to meeting with him on this issue and others. Which is an eminently sane response. But it highlights, and if I sound like I'm struggling, I am. I'm sorry. But it highlights the problem that any family, and here we're talking about the American family, that any family confronts when they are dealing with mental illness. And that is no slur upon people with mental illness. There's nobody out there who is completely, absolutely, utterly, undeniably, unquestionably, 110% rock solid, lead pipe cinch, Colonel Mustard in the conservatory with the rope sane. Everybody got problems. But some problems are worse than others. And a family dealing with a beloved member of its family, work with me here, we're leaving the beloved in for a minute, will struggle, especially in the early onset phases of the beloved family member's mental illness. Because you find yourself at a loss. And it tears at the very fabric of the family itself. And it's scary, and it's painful, and it's frightening. In general, people with mental illness are statistically no more prone to violence than people who don't have mental illness. But there can be deviations from that fact. And America is in that place right now. We have, well, tens of millions of us, I would suspect, have discovered that there is something badly, badly, badly wrong with the person who was inaugurated as President of the United States of America. And we don't know what to do. We feel alone. The isolation and the stigma of mental illness are one of the things that makes it so difficult to deal with. We feel alone. We are bereft of resources with which to deal with it. And one of the things that a family dealing with mental illness deals with is an ever-present fear that if the family doesn't do something, that some terrible harm, intentional or unintentional, will come to the family because of the mental illness of the family member. That may not even be planned. I mean, just look back over the past couple of years. There are incidents where mentally ill people have been murdered by police simply for being mentally ill. There are incidents where the police have beaten and killed people simply for being differently abled. And when you magnify that to the level of an entire nation of in excess of 300 million souls, and a vast nuclear arsenal, it can reach proportions that are only weakly described as terrifying. And sensations of hopelessness can set in. And if what I read on Facebook and other places is to be believed, and I do my own gut check on this too, that sense of hopelessness is beginning to affect people. Because as I have described before, and even Paul Krugman is beginning to tiptoe ever so slowly and slightly toward the same idea. When he finally gets there, I'll let you know, and I'll be the one saying, no, I said this a while back. We are in full-on constitutional crisis. For instance, the 25th Amendment. Section 4 of the 25th Amendment permits the cabinet, if a majority of them sign off on it, to declare the president unable, and that's the official word, not disabled, but unable to fulfill the duties and responsibilities and obligations of the presidency. And upon that declaration, the vice president becomes, and this is the official term under the amendment, acting president. That amendment only came along in 1968, and it came along after a series of realizations that the Constitution was entirely too unclear on the succession. And by the way, just as an aside, the 25th Amendment puts paid to that silly-ass right-wing notion of constitutional originalism. Because while there were concepts of, say, mental illness in 1787 at the time of the drafting and ratification of the Constitution, there was nothing, you know, they had one word for it, madness. Ah, he's gone mad. Ah, what a shame. pity, really. And their answer to it was to warehouse if the person was unmanageable or without enough, with family did not have enough resources to manage at home, they warehoused that person. The ancient term in English, going back past Shakespeare, was bedlam. Bedlam was where one sent people who were mad. I tell you, mad. Of course, I'm mad. I've always been mad. Cue up Dark Side of the Moon. Dark Side of the Moon, of course, being an entire and brilliant album that is nothing but a meditation on madness. But I'm getting away from myself. The 25th Amendment proves that, no, the framers of the Constitution didn't miraculously think of everything. And yes, they fully intended for us to have to fix problems as they arose. Jesus, even during his own lifetime, after he was president, little Jimmy Madison was making that clear. He wanted to expand the franchise beyond white male property holders to, you know, maybe white male non-property holders. I know, liberal. But in the time between the ratification of the Constitution and the passage of the ratification in 1968 of the 25th Amendment, we had seen some real crises. A couple in particular come to mind. Abraham Lincoln was damn near killed. Felled by disease. We think it may have been smallpox. Don't really know. I don't think it's known definitively. But he came down sick after delivering the Gettysburg Address. He was sick almost immediately, maybe even started feeling it on the train back to D.C. from Gettysburg. And he lingered he was not presidential for a good long while. And there was really nothing anybody could do about it. Constitutionally. Not all that much later. Let's see, 37. Yeah, 57, 56 years later. Woodrow Wilson goes up. Racist, I know. We're just dealing with other stuff, though. Woodrow Wilson goes all over the country barnstorming in support of the entry of the United States of America into the League of Nations. Because, say whatever else you will about Woodrow Wilson did not want to see another conflagration like that which had just come to a close in the abattoir that had once been known as Europe, namely the First World War. He was stymied in this effort by a man named Henry Cabot Lodge, a Republican from Maine, who in his pettiness led the assault on the League of Nations Treaty. Woodrow Wilson, though, did. He went all over the country arguing in favor of the League of Nations. And somewhere along the way, he had an absolute whopper of a stroke. And he was laid up for months. And his wife, I think her name was Edith, wouldn't let anyone anywhere near him. You've also got the debilitation of President Garfield after the assassination on his attempt on his life, which later proved successful. But he lingered and at death's door, tortured by barbaric doctors for months on end, and nobody could do anything. And then no sooner is Woodrow Wilson out of office than you get Warren Gamaliel Harding, who dies in office and hands off to Calvin Coolidge. When Franklin Roosevelt dies in office, power transfers fairly simply to Harry Truman. But then, after Truman, you get the presidency of Dwight D. Eisenhower, who had heart attacks in office, and was not at and was incapacitated from being president in the middle of the Cold War. And then comes Kennedy, and Johnson becomes president. And so during the presidency of Lyndon B. Johnson, the country, the Congress and the president and the states worked together. Remember when we could do that? I know, crazy, right? And they craft the 25th Amendment, which is it is not perfect by any measure, but it at least provided a mechanism. Because it made the same faulty assumption that the framers of the Constitution had made, and that was that no time would ever come in America when the people at the levers of power would not be acting in good faith. We know now, and we have learned to our chagrin through things like Watergate and Iran-Contra, Republicans, what are you going to do? Or the ginning up of the war against the innocent people of Iraq. We have learned that, no, they do not always act in good faith. And so we find ourselves here. Today was as if, say, you were on an airliner on a transcontinental flight. And all of a sudden, the door to the cabin opened up and the pilot walked out with a party hat and a noisemaker and a 3/5 empty bottle of old Panther piss with no bottle cap in one hand, hiccuping and slurring and... and everybody on the airplane goes, oh, we're fucked. Well, hey, at least there's a co-pilot, right? And the co-pilot walks out with his own bottle of old Panther piss. Well, maybe the navigator. Same story. Anybody here know how to fly an airplane? Do you like wrestling, Jimmy? And that's where we are, and people are justifiably terrified. As Carol Baker points out, three times he howled how he inherited a mess. That Obama was responsible for dividing the country, and he's here to save us. In the succinct words of Carol Baker, what in the ever-living fuck? That wasn't a press conference. It was the longest SNL sketch ever. And the fact that we have to confront the idea that there's nothing that can be done about this is it's existential terror at its most essential. And I'm not trying to bum people out. But, like the sign says in the meeting room, reality spoken here. I think we're, like I said, I think we're going to sort of have to prop each other up. I think we're going to have to be supportive of each other. I think we're going to have to learn to laugh together. Because these are terrifying times. Oh, yeah, sure. I'm absolutely certain that the little Trumpanzees who were watching today were giggling, and they got all the same joy out of watching Trump vilify the press. I mean, for fuck's sake, he went after the BBC? And then there was the guy who was going to try to ask about anti-Semitism again, and he just told him to sit down and shut up. And I'm sure the Trumpanzees loved that just as much as they loved it back when he was on WWE, and he tackled Vince McMahon, and he shaved his head. And I ask again at 19 minutes before the hour, how long before some member of the for-profit media finally looks up and goes, holy shit, he's running the country and his White House like a goddamned reality show. This is the unscripted script of The Apprentice, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. How long? How far ahead of the curve are we on this here in our little Horn community congregation bubble? I don't have an answer. I guess we'll just have to wait and see. Darlene in Connecticut. Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, I'm just loving the Russian spy ship loitering barely 30 miles off the Connecticut coastline, boldly and in full view, eavesdropping on our submarine's base's communications. Yeah, I'm just loving this one. And then there was the Russian pilot who buzzed a U.S. warship in international waters in the Black Sea. And I'm sure that for the, what's the term we're using now, the alt-left, the ones who think Putin is just a big cuddly snuggle bear, members of the sparkle fart-powered unicorn cavalry, I'm sure they're just loving it too. Well, we deserve it. I mean, it's our fault for being, you know, such thugs. That's what's out there. Don't even go looking. It'll make you crazy. Scott and Punky with a note. If the increasingly bizarre behavior by Trump were to show up in any other context, immediate steps would be taken to remedy the situation. If Trump were a poorly prepared and presented meal at a restaurant, you'd summon the waiter and have it sent back. Trump à l'orange? Sorry, just happens. If Trump were an errant child, you'd give him or her a timeout or at the very least a stern talking to. If Trump were a relationship that's gone south, you'd go into couples counseling, or in a worst-case scenario, you'd discuss options with a divorce lawyer. As it happens, the situation we find ourselves in with Trump is far worse and more dangerous on a globally existential level, and the supposed grown-ups in the room continue to blithely look away and/or put the blame elsewhere. And that's the essential problem. I mean, we've talked about really, really out there solution possibilities. I did that last night. I mean, a discharge petition consisting of 50% of the membership of the House of Representatives would bring, say, a resolution to the floor for a vote calling for say, an investigation. Could you get all 192 Democrats? Could you peel off, say, 26 Republicans? Or are they epoxied to the pasty, doughy rear end of Donald Trump? And is there a single Republican committee chair who would be willing to break faith with Paul Ryan? Tough, isn't it? Scott added, in terms of the constitutional originalists, the 25th Amendment is the appropriate response to the antiquated notion. Leeches work. Ron in Raleigh asks, how does one analyze a dumpster fire? I listened to NPR after forcing myself to listen to the bulk of this snit. And that's what it was. It was a press snit. And they proceeded to act as if there was some sort of substance to this idiocy. 4 years of this brain-dead asshole doing this every so often. Can you imagine what the State of the Union will sound like? Oh, fuck, I forgot about that. And it's, you know, 10.5 months away. Or so. Insanity, Ron says, is breaking out all over. Russia just decriminalized domestic abuse. The vote was 380-3 in the Duma. The sponsors called it an effort to save families. Yeah, let me deal with that real quick. Because it just so happens I have the story here. And it gives me an opportunity to use my cheesy Russian accent. With the decriminalization of domestic violence, and in some parts of America, including in certain hollers of Appalachia, this is not particularly surprising because it is not unusual to hear Bubba say to Officer Friendly when he shows up, oh, hell, Deputy, I didn't even hit her with my closed fist. Gets said. The newspaper Komsomolskaya Pravda editorialized in advance of Big Bad Vladdy Daddy signing into law the new reduction in charges for domestic abuse, the new decriminalization of domestic abuse in Russia. A columnist for Komsomolskaya Pravda, Yaroslav Korobotov.
I'll say it, Dad, yeah.
Proud of myself. Wrote, for years, women who have been smacked around by husbands have found solace in rather hypocritical proverb, if he beat you, it mean he love you. However, new scientific study is giving women with irascible husbands new grounds to be proud of their bruises, insofar as women who are beaten, biologists confirm, have a valuable advantage. They're more likely to give birth to boys. Not making that up. That ain't from The Onion. That's from Komsomolskaya Pravda. And it comes from some quack research done by a guy named Satoshi Kanazawa, who refers to himself as an evolutionary psychologist. He published a paper that was titled "Violent Men Have More Sons." And 3 years after that, he published a paper, "Why Do Some Battered Women Stay?" And in that, he said battered women may have been selected to tolerate a certain level of non-lethal violence in their mates. This is taking genetics a mite too far. Evolutionary psychologist Satoshi Kanazawa has also said that, in case you're wondering, African countries suffer from poverty because of low IQs. And he has also said, as an evolutionary psychologist, that black women are objectively less attractive. Mm-hmm. They have valuable advantage. They're more likely to give birth to boys. Yeah. I'm waiting for the mail to load back up. Thank you, Ron. Thank you. Clarence says, "Bob the POTUS is a classic bullshit artist. If this guy's a graduate of the Ivy League Wharton School of Business, then the Three Stooges, Laurel and Hardy, and the Marx Brothers were members of Mensa, and they all held degrees from MIT. Well, the fact of the matter is, the Three Stooges, Laurel, and at least the Marx Brothers were geniuses, but we'll leave that for another time. By the way, Mar-a-Lago Mussolini has in the past claimed that he graduated at the top of his class at Wharton. One, he only transferred into Wharton in his junior year of college. Two, he never shows up on the dean's list. And three, he is not on the list of people graduating laude cum laude, magna cum laude, or summa cum laude from that institution. So that's a lie, too. He's been a liar all his life. Aspects of whatever this pathology is that runs through the liquids in his brain and is fired from neuron to neuron through some sort of electrical impulse have been there for a mighty long time. Yes, Ron, valuable. It's a valuable advantage. Ron asking, when did Chekhov become a researcher? And, of course, there we have our obligatory Star Trek reference for the night, courtesy of Ron in Raleigh. And this from Matt in San Francisco. Subject line, I grew up with a mother who suffered from mental illness. My mother struggled with bipolar and schizophrenia. It made for a rather challenging upbringing. As a young person, the reality of what went on behind closed doors was so different than what I saw my childhood friends experience in their homes. One learns to cope, learns the ins and outs of the medical community, social workers, and police interactions. I got pretty good at learning just what signs social workers and police had to see to get her committed when she desperately needed it, because one of the things with mental illness is the person with the illness rarely understands they need help. I often noticed that people with money could be as mentally ill as the folks in the ward, but everyone described them as eccentric. Perhaps all those around 45 were hoping he could be managed and no one would catch on that he's not well. Unfortunately, the job of leadership requires that he interact with the press, the public, and make decisions that affect the entire population of the globe. The Republican Party should be disbanded, Matt says. Due to their complicity in supporting this man and putting him in the most powerful position on earth. This is not going to end well. Their lust for power has overridden any rational thought. For the sake of this country, someone in power needs to be an adult and deal with the reality we find ourselves in. The man needs help. Continuing down this current road will result in disaster. This situation has this atheist praying to God that someone steps up and acts like an adult. That's tough when you've got the atheists praying. But it's fact. Matt, thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Going back into memories like that can be difficult, and I really do. I appreciate the degree to which members of this family share their personal experiences and thereby bring us all into a sort of communion together. But that really, really is a basic and essential question here. And I'll tell you something that's been running around my mind. And I think it was occasioned a little bit by the... And look, we surveil the Russians surveil us, the Israelis spy on everybody better than anybody else in the world. It's to be expected. It's part of the dark arts of the nation state. But there's something kind of just icky about this particular aspect of it, because we have the sense that he's been selling, that he is in the process of selling us out. And what if he does that? What if the Russians get around to making a demand of us, and he simply says, "Okay." I know, far-fetched, right? But what would all those good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, gun-to-mentalist, ammo-sexuals do who are keeping their guns on hand in case the jackbooted government decides to put its jackboots down on our tender white Christian necks right there where we got the tattoo says only God can judge me? What would they do? If Trump told them to stand down, would they stand down? You're goddamn right they would. Because there's not a damn thing patriotic about them. They're a bunch of chicken shits. And that's a little bit, you know, terrifying. All right, I'm apparently in trouble for my Russian accent again. Listening to your Russian accent is almost as painful as watching a Trump dumpster fire for a press conference. Well, thanks, Brother Deacon Asa. Love you, too. My Russian accent has valuable advantages. Meanwhile, Ron in the far frozen north says, "I'm still waiting for some significant movement on the part of the Fourth Estate to move aggressively towards real investigative journalism. You know, start drinking upstream from the rest of the herd. After the press conference, Trump rolled triumphantly back into the West Wing, looked Vanilla Spice straight in the eye, and said, "Now that, by God, is how you hold a press conference. You got that?" Yeah, and he also later had a signing event whereby he rolled back regulations to make sure it was possible to poison more hillbillies. And he had Shelley Moore Capito, and he had spineless Joe Benedict Arnold Manchin, and he had Evan Jenkins, and he had Rob Bishop, and he had Mitch McConnell, and he had stage props, a few coal miners standing there in the Oval Office wearing their coal mining clothes and their coal mining hard hats, because you know you want to wear those when you're going to the White House. Now that there's a orange man back in the White House like he ought to be. And it was pretty sickening. Les says, "Wait, hold up. All this time you weren't talking about the presser Fuhrer Twitler did with Netanyahu?" No. That was yesterday. All right. Y'all hate the Russian accent. You're going to hate the pronunciation even more. Carol Baker says, "Иногда должны сказать суку дважды" is Russian for "sometimes you have to tell the bitch twice." I shouldn't laugh at that. I'm sorry. And yes, that really is the translation. Courtesy of Carol Baker, Queen of the Minions. Oh, I know you're kidding, Brother Deacon Asa. I know you're kidding. Sure you're kidding. In New York, Steve says, "The Trumpanzees are out there wondering what's wrong with us libtards and why we ain't appreciating all this here murkin' greatness we're getting." And in case you were wondering, the Trump event there about coal, it wasn't any more lucid. It wasn't any less nuts. So let's take a quick break. We are at 3 minutes past the hour. $320 to raise this evening to come even with fundraising on the week and the middle of the month. And we're at zero. So hopefully that will not remain such. And we'll take a bite out of it. But yeah, this is Conversation Radio. Got one person on the line, and we'll be right there to it quick as we get back. This is listener-supported Conversation Radio. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Because tomorrow might be good for something. Hold on, feeling like I'm headed for a breakdown, and I don't know why. But I'm not crazy, I'm just a little unwell. I know right now you can't tell, but stay a while and maybe then you'll see a different side of me. I'm not crazy.
talking to myself in public and dodging glances on the train. And I know they've all been talking about me. I can hear them whisper, and it makes me think there must be something wrong with me. Out of all the hours thinking, somehow I've lost my mind. But I'm not crazy, I'm just a little unwell. I know right now you can't tell, but stay a while and maybe then you'll see a different side of me. I'm not crazy, I'm just a little in bed. I know right now you don't care, but soon enough you're gonna think of me.
Thursday, February 16, 2017.
It's a priority for the Trump administration to fix our broken regulatory system.
Trump repeals anti-corruption regulation for the fossil fuel industry.
Crews are still cleaning up after a major oil pipeline was struck, spilling oil across a highway in Collin County.
From the folks bringing you the Dakota Access Pipeline, another major spill. Good news for breathers, bad news for coal miners in Arizona. U.S. emissions still declining, plus...
These are really badly contaminated.
Scientists discover man-made toxic chemicals in the deepest part of the ocean.
All of those disturbing discoveries and more straight ahead. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Better to get your news directly from the president. In fact, it might be the only way to get the unvarnished truth.
Just for the record, that's the chairman of the U.S. House Science Committee. We're screwed. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, before we get started, I just want to note that we are now heading into our 9th year of the Green News Report. We have been doing this for 8 years. And my thanks to those of you who stopped by bradblog.com/donate to help us continue to connect the climate change dots.
Yes, indeed. Thank you so much. Now, on to the news. A big win on Wednesday for the fossil fuel industry. President Trump signed a repeal of an anti-corruption measure in the Dodd-Frank banking oversight law that would have required U.S. oil companies to disclose to the Securities and Exchange Commission any payments that they make to foreign governments for drilling and mining rights. It was similar to provisions in the EU, created in part to help citizens in developing nations fight government corruption, bribery, and tax evasion. Fast repeal of that anti-corruption provision was a big priority for the fossil fuel industry and Republicans. New U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson personally lobbied against it back when he was ExxonMobil CEO. White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer painted the repeal as crucial for small business.
Misguided federal regulations such as the SEC rule inflict real cost on the American people and put our businesses, especially small businesses, at a significant disadvantage.
Because, you know, ExxonMobil is a small business. The Standing Rock Sioux Tribe and Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe this week filed a new court challenge to the Dakota Access Pipeline to overturn the Army Corps of Engineers' sudden approval of a final permit as ordered by the Trump administration. Now, in a story that got buried when it happened, that Trump order, it came just days after yet another major pipeline rupture, this time near Dallas, Texas. Struck by construction equipment, the high-pressure pipeline spilled 600,000 gallons of crude oil. It was the second spill on that new 1-year-old pipeline.
And I want to underscore that. This pipeline began operation in mid-2016. It has already spilled twice. But no need to worry about that. Same company and their Dakota Access Pipeline. I'm sure it'll all be fine.
Meanwhile, man-made toxic chemicals have contaminated even the deepest reaches of the ocean. According to a new study, tiny shrimp-like animals collected deep in the Pacific Ocean's Mariana Trench, 7 miles below the surface, are heavily contaminated with man-made chemicals like PCBs, at levels similar to the most polluted waterways in the world. In an interview with NPR, biologist Alan Jameson said they were shocked at their findings.
Every sample we had contaminants in it at very high or extraordinarily high levels.
PCBs were banned decades ago, but persist in the environment and may have been absorbed by plastic pollution in the ocean that settled to the bottom.
At high levels, 7 miles below the surface of the ocean.
Yep.
Wow.
Good news for breathers in Arizona. The Navajo Generating Station coal-fired power plant in northern Arizona, one of the biggest polluters in the nation, will close in 2 years, its owners announced this week, because cheap natural gas has made it unprofitable to run. That's bad news, however, for more than 900 coal mine and power plant workers. Tribal environmental activists with the Navajo Nation are pushing their leaders and state officials to develop renewable energy projects to create new jobs.
Like solar energy?
Well, they do have that in Arizona.
There is a little bit of sun out there.
Finally, some good news. Despite a rise in economic and industrial growth in the U.S., U.S. annual emissions of greenhouse gases have continued to drop. A little, declining a little more than 2% over 2015, according to the latest data. The EPA says more electric utilities are switching away from coal to cleaner burning natural gas, plus a decrease in electricity demand thanks to energy efficiency and warmer winter temperatures reducing heating demand. Annual U.S. emissions have declined 11% below 2005 levels.
Well, we'll turn that around soon enough. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Once again, our thanks to those of you who stopped by bradblog.com/donate to help the Green News Report stay on the air for what will now be our 9th year. Boy, oh boy, thank you very much, Desi, I think. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Soak up the sun. I got my 45 on, so I can rock on.
Thirteen minutes past the hour. This is the horn for Thursday, the 16th day of February, 2017. And enough shilly-shallying about. Let's run over and check in somewhere out west. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, can you hear me all right?
Yeah, I got you.
Cool beans. This is John, the trucker guy I occasionally call.
Yeah, hey, John. Yeah, I recognize you.
Yeah. The thing that scares me in part of the conversation you're having is that everything you're saying is true, but everything I hear out here is...
Exactly the opposite.
Well, not so much the opposite is, but these people love it. They love it. The more crazier Trump gets, the more they love it. Yeah, that Trump boy, he's telling it like it is and getting into that system and shaking it all up. Get rid of them son of bitches. They don't care. They don't care. He could sell us to, he could sell the country out as long as they gave them their little god guns and whatever the hell it is they have. I mean, that's all I hear. I'm out west right now, and I guess, like I said, I travel around. Maybe it's just the type of people I keep coming in contact with.
Truck stops, John. It's truck stops.
It's truck stops. It's rural communities. I mean, it's just everywhere. All down in the south and out here in the west. I'm in Washington State right now, and once you get away from the city, Oh, that's all you.
Yeah, once you get across the Cascades, different place.
Oh, I'm on the coast right now.
Oh, really?
Still, Trump, Pence, Trump, Pence, Trump, Pence. I have not seen, this is kind of like leftovers from the election, but the only time I see anything with like a Hillary sticker on it or vote Democrat or anything like that is if I happen to be passing through one of the cities. As soon as I leave the city and I get back out here where the trees are.
Well, that's why they call us urban coastal elites.
Yeah, that's all I see out here. I'm sitting in a truck stop right now. Fortunately, got to stop. Got to stop a little early. And got to sit. I'm actually getting to sit and listen to you without actually driving. So, yay, I don't have to, hear you over the noise. But I'm looking at a restaurant, and I'm looking at six vehicles. Four vehicles got Trump pen signs on them. And one of them's got a hand-painted sign that says, ship them out. Get rid of the Muslim. If I didn't know any better, I'd say we're getting about wound up to have a damn religious war.
It's not the least possible thing, and it is highly terrifying. Yeah.
I mean, they're sitting here, and like I said, I was sitting there eating some lunch here a little while ago, and there's a table full of people sitting next to me, your old rancher, farmer, white guy. And, you got the TV on, got the Fox News thing going on. And I'm hearing this one guy, and he is bitching a storm. He's saying them goddamn unelected liberal-ass judges is trying to stop Trump from protecting us and getting rid of them damn Muslims. We need to get the damn Muslims out of here. And I'm like, damn. I mean, he wasn't being a soft pedal about it either. It's like, Jesus Christ. I mean, is this what we're going to? These old white guys will eventually die, but I'm afraid they're going to take us with them when they go.
Can they learn? I got no answer, John, because that's the essential.
So.
How bad does it have to get before they realize they've been screwed, that they've been had, that they paid their quarter and went through the this way to the egress gate, and that they've suddenly found themselves outside the goddamn circus?
Now, I didn't see it, but I understand that there was like yesterday or today or something like that, there was some news conference, and Trump said something kind of nasty to one of the reporters.
He was nasty to all of them.
And all I heard from the people referring to this event, although I never saw it myself, is they said, it's about time somebody tell them liberal fuckers to shut the hell up and get, if they don't like it, get their ass out of the country.
No, it was pure insanity, though, because Jim Acosta from CNN got to ask a question, and he asked him about the leaks and fake news, and he said, well, the leaks are real and they're illegal, but the news is fake. And that was the poll quote. That was the poll quote from the press conference. And every network you checked out, they were just kind of sitting there going,
I got several things on my phone now for different YouTubes and stuff like that. And I'm listening to some people. And I got this one guy. And I'm not going to bother saying his name because it's just, I just listen to him as the stupidity of it. But what scares me is, and maybe it's just the way my feeds are set up, but they're all, this one guy was sitting there saying, well, Trump is trying, and the deep state is trying to get rid of him now, and there's rumors now that he's going to get assassinated, and if he gets assassinated, it's going to be civil goddamn war, and I'm going, the thing that scares me, I think more than anything else is that this is the dark side of having the internet and having instantaneous access to news all from all over the world.
Well, if anything happens to him, John, and I'm not saying that anything should, you got that, Agent Fred? I'm not saying anything should. If anything happens to him, it will be of his own making because of chaotic situations like he created last weekend down at that tacky Baroque pile of bricks that he charges people $200,000 to be a member of. There's no way the Secret Service can can perform an adequate do an adequate duty there. And I personally think that's why the head of the Secret Service
retired.
I'm out of here. I'm not getting that pinned on me when it happens.
Yeah, because this is passing ridiculous. I mean, you know, you've got, and of course, California has got is working on getting their signatures for their, you know, I call it a token protest, but they're actually got signatures out in California now. They're trying to get up to 500 and some thousand they need to get on the ballot for a secession from the United States. And I was passing through California a few days ago, and I asked a guy sitting there, I was like, you guys are serious about this stuff? He says, yeah, not only are we serious, but I hope it happens. Get rid of California. California is nothing but a bunch of libtard sons of bitches. And I'm like, they're the sixth largest economy in the world. You want to get rid of that? I don't care.
Yeah, well, see, you're talking. Look, John, you're in the monkey house, okay? And you're trying to carry on a rational conversation with a chimp with a handful of poo. And it's a waste of it. I mean, there are people who do make that effort, and I just won't anymore. I can't. The time is too precious, too finite, and I love life too much. But if you're into just, you know, throwing the precious moments of your finite life down a shithole, more power to you, I guess, brother, but not me.
Well, see, I'm of the mindset that I'm trapped there anyway. I may as well have some fun at it. But it's still.
Yeah, just remember, them bastards got guns.
Yeah, but, you know. Yeah, that's the thing. Again, it's one of the many things that gets me. I mean, if people say, you know, Putin's trying to, you know, take over the country, I said, why in the hell would he want to take over a country that is full of armed crazy people? It would be a losing proposition.
I understand.
I mean, it's, you know, it's crazy. I mean, they're sitting there. You've got, you've got Iran a week or so ago disconnects their oil from the dollar. You've got multiple countries now that are actually a proposal. I can't remember if it was. Was it proposed in France or was it proposed in one of the European cities or states has put a proposal into their legislature, and I picked it up only in passing, that they want to close the U.S. embassy and kick the damn U.S. ambassador out and don't want to have anything to do with this anymore. And they basically, the attitude is, y'all we can't trust this guy anymore. Trump made the comment that unless the NATO countries want to pay up more money, he's going to start reducing our commitment to NATO. You know, I'm like you. I don't want nothing to happen to him in a negative sort of way because it would cause too much trouble. But I'm sorry. If this guy lasts 2 or 3 years, the flaming wreckage he leaves behind is going to take a generation to fix. And it's assuming we live through it.
Exactly. Well, John, it's good talking to you. I'm glad you got off the road a little bit early this evening, and hope you have a productive and restful evening. And by all means, stay safe out there.
All right, cool beans.
All right, you take care. Bye now. From out on the road in Washington State, that's our buddy John. And now over to the stress line where Steve from Georgia Stan awaits. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Bob. What's going on?
Oh, Steve.
Yeah, I'm here, Bob.
Steve, you're up.
Yeah, I know. I'm here, Bob. Can you hear me?
Waiting.
I know. Never mind.
Okay. All right, let's check in with Scott out in San Diego. Hey, Scott. How's Punky?
Hello. Hello, hello, Bob. How you doing?
I'm pretty good. How about you?
I'm pretty well, all things considered. I didn't watch the press conference. Maybe that accounts for my...
Well, maybe that you're probably in better mental health than those of us who did.
Well, now, let's not go overboard. A couple of things, real quick. Brevity is my watchword these days, you know, because, you know, I could go on and on, but why? You know, it's better to do little chunks than, you know, one big humongous chunk. But it's been some years since I've owned an automobile. I think I got rid of my last car in 2003. And I was thinking, looking at my whole calendar, today is the 16th of January. We are still 4 days shy of the first full month of the Trump administration. And if you think of it in terms, you think of a presidential administration in terms of a car loan, a new car loan, you know, after the 20th, we'll still have 47 goddamn months of payments and stuff. And boy, will we pay. Jesus. And then you drive the car off the lot, and the moment those rear set of wheels goes over the, you know, goes past the curb, the car's value diminishes considerably. And then you've got month after month of payments. And I know they're supposedly making cars better than they used to.
But still.
Unfortunately, that doesn't apply to presidents in this day and age. So we've got that scenario. And then the other night, like a week ago, on PBS out here, they showed, I forget which program it was, but it was about the Oklahoma City bombing. And then last night, or night before last, they showed a film about Ruby Ridge, which preceded the Oklahoma City bombing. And on the OKC thing, they gave as background David Koresh and his merry band of nutbuckets, Armageddonist whack jobs is what I call them, down in Waco, Texas, which seems to be the appropriate place to have shit like that unfold. You know, these people have not gone away. Just because they're not in the news for a lot of years, they haven't gone away. And as a matter of fact, we've been hearing quite a lot from them in the primaries and in the run-up during the general election last year. So, you know, if the shit hits the fan, if his head explodes voluntarily or otherwise, and he's no longer available to be...
not that we want that to happen, Agent Fred.
No, not at all. Not at all. But let's suppose it gets so bad that even he can't deal with himself and he shuts down. Okay, he has to be sent off for regrooving on a permanent basis. You know that some of these same gun-toting, Armageddonist whack jobs are going to make the most of that situation. And there's just no silver lining.
They may be happier with Pence.
Well, yeah, they might.
He'll be a little more boring, I guess.
Yeah.
But he'll make a much bigger deal out of the precious little fetuses.
Well, yeah, because, you know, on a purely political basis, what he lacks in theatrics, he makes up for in their minds with his, with the way he is. He doesn't like gay folks, okay? He doesn't like the fact that the Supreme Court outlawed, you know, stringent rules regarding personal choice in terms of a woman's right to choose, okay? There's a whole list of things.
Well, hell, he hung out East Chicago, Indiana, till the day he left office, and they were getting poisoned, lead poisoned just like Flint.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, so he's right, he's aces with them being the gun-toting, I can't do the spiel that you do, the gun-toting, ammo, what do you
good God fearing, upstanding Bible believing Christ centered evangelical gun-toting ammo sexuals.
Right here in River City. There's trouble, my friend, right here in River City. So, I mean, there is no silver lining here. And that email that I sent you earlier about, you know, the fact that if this were a bad meal served at a fancy restaurant, you'd send it back, okay, to the kitchen. You'd raise hell with the waiter and urge him to send it back. If it were an errant child, you would set the kid down,
yeah,
for a timeout. Okay, or speak firmly. If it were a fucking relationship,
yeah, you'd either be in counseling or divorce court.
Exactly. So meanwhile, the grown-ups are just, and see, here's the dynamic with that. Okay, the Republicans, after 8 years of Obama, they are so happy. See, I think I woke Punky up. The Republicans are so happy to be back in power, you know, with the House and the Senate and now the presidency, that they're willing to overlook some rather obvious faults of Mr. Trump. And back in the late 60s or the early 70s, there was a cartoonist by the name of R. Cobb, C-O-B-B. And one of my favorite cartoons of his or hers, imagine a desolate landscape as far as the eye can see, obviously after a nuclear explosion of some sort. Everything is fucking leveled. And there's one dumpy little guy standing there with a portable television in one hand, and in his other hand is the cord to the portable television, and he's got it thrust out, and there's a look on his face like, where's the plug? You know, to plug this sucker in so I can see what's going on. And that's where the Republicans are. They are so happy to be back in full power that, you know, and with Trump in charge and the fact that a cataclysmic global nightmare could occur under this clown, they're like the guy in the R. Cobb cartoon, holding the TV, surrounded by desolation, looking for a place to plug in and get that power. Hang on to that power, boys and girls, you know?
Well, without a doubt, you know, you mentioned something a little bit ago. You mentioned Koresh and Oklahoma City, and I couldn't help thinking when you mentioned it, man, don't you know Timothy McVeigh if he hadn't been executed, and don't you know David Koresh and probably that whackadoodle up at Ruby Ridge? He's still around, right?
Randy Weaver got acquitted. I had forgotten about that.
Don't you know Randy Weaver was a Trumpanzee? Is a Trumpanzee? Don't you know?
Oh, sure.
I mean, don't
sure.
you know Timothy McVeigh would have been out there at them Make America Great Again rallies and, you know, probably holding hands and singing Kumbaya with David Koresh?
Of course.
See, that they were just a little ahead of their time, weren't they?
Well, yeah, but we've always had, you know, the lunatic fringe out there. I mean, you go back to the 50s and the John Birch Society, which, by the way, Trump's daddy was a member of, if I'm not mistaken.
Trump's daddy was a Klansman.
Yeah, but I thought there was also a, or am I thinking of the Koch brothers? It's hard to keep these.
Yeah, the Koch pappy. Was some of the original money behind the founding of the John Birch Society.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So Fred Trump, Donald Trump's daddy, was just a Klansman.
Yeah. He was busted in a Klan riot.
Jeez. It's, you know, and there's no respite. I mean, aside from this show, there is no respite because it's a relentless, daily, almost hourly situation where just when one outrage occurs, there's another in the next segment of the news cycle. And maybe that's the plan, you know? And the Democrats are looking, in a lot of ways, just absolutely powerless in the sense that they don't know what to do. They've got a deer in the headlights look, some of them, not all of them, but some of them, that they just don't know where, they don't know whether to shit or go blind, you know?
Well, without a doubt. It's
but um it it it
but maybe and, you know, maybe you don't quite, and I'm not trying to divide us or anything, but I would be a little, I would be a little less stressed out if I was in California. I'd be a little less stressed out if I was in Massachusetts. I'd be a little less stressed out if I was somewhere where I felt like I was at least modestly defended from the predatory acts of these sons of bitches.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, looking back at it during the primaries and during the run-up to the in the general election, I have never been really what you call stressed out. What I have been has been more along the lines of being continually in a state of permanent gobsmackedness. It's like I'm seeing what's going on because I know a little bit about, you know, what has preceded our current situation. And it's kind of a case of, even though I didn't fully see this coming, on some level, I saw it coming. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think a lot of us did.
You know,
but when you're confronted with the reality of it, that doesn't make it any less bizarre.
Oh, no. It's been, I mean, I was telling someone that even in my wayward youth and my dabbling with hallucinogenics, and there was some of that going on 45 years ago, okay, even my wildest trips under the influence of hallucinogens did not prepare me for where we are now. And I took some pretty...
Well, living, although there are some references to it, I mean, I got a story in front of me here about a former, you know, White House lawyer, and by former White House lawyer, we mean John Dean, who said that... and he was on MSNBC to do it. He said that Trump's, you know, evasion of the Russian connection, his words, Nixon to the letter almost. And you know, you got a couple of years on me, so you've got a more adult recollection of Watergate.
Oh yes.
Or a more advanced recollection of Watergate.
Well, how bad it was during the end, toward the end of July of 74, leading up to the first few days of August of 74, Nixon resigned. He gave his address on the night of the 8th, and the resignation took place noon the following day, August 9th of 74. In those last few weeks, there were some among us, and we were not easily frightened, but there were some among us who thought that at any moment tanks would be rolling down Pennsylvania Avenue. That's how fucking bizarre it was. And I grew up at that time, was living just four miles south of D.C. in the Virginia suburbs. That's how crazy it got. And when you were talking about the 25th Amendment earlier, you kind of left out the business of Nixon's vice president, Spiro Ted Agnew, former governor of Maryland, quit because he had to after pleading nolo contendere in the fall of 73. So he dropped out as vice president because of bribery scandals going on, even while he was vice president. Gerald Ford was picked as the replacement for Spiro Agnew as Nixon's vice president. And Gerald Ford, his highest aspiration was to be Speaker of the House. Okay? He was a longtime House member. And he also sat on the Warren Commission, which never put me in real good stead with old Jerry. Okay? But, you know, be that as it may, he became Nixon's vice president, and then Nixon resigned, and Ford became the first unelected U.S. president in history. So we have lived through strange times, but even as strange as those times have been in my life, okay, nothing has quite prepared me for this. And we're not even a full month in to what could be a four-year term. God help us if there is a God, or and if there is help to be had.
If, yeah. That's yeah. that's the part that's beginning to give me the fantods, if you will, the if part.
And at some point, you've got to just kind of, it's like Hunter Thompson said, you buy the ticket, you take the ride. And I forget the rest of the quote, but it's along the lines, and if there are moments when it gets rather hairy or more hairier than you expected, just consider that forced consciousness expansion. And one wonders what old Hunter and what George Carlin and some others would be making
Treating
of
Jim
this
Acosta
current situation.
Over there from CNN.
Oh, stand by. Wait a minute.
Reporter, guy I've never met.
All right.
But a good reporter. I mean, treating him like he's... I'm not even going to use the word. I'm not going to give Twitter its the love it needs. It's
Damn it.
Crazy what we're watching every day.
Yeah.
It's absolutely crazy.
What you're hearing there is actually Shepard Smith. Sparky sent that along to me, and it played automatically.
Okay, I hate when that happens.
But it was fortuitous, and I think Punky approves.
Yeah.
Because that was Shepard Smith saying that it was that today was absolutely nuts. That it was just loony. And I'm sorry, I don't want to use those pejoratives because they, well, I'm sorry. But the thing is, because we were speaking of Watergate, and which takes us, you know, and you can take the jump back to LBJ and Vietnam. You know, back then, I don't know if it's apocryphal or actually verifiably true, but LBJ said of what Walter Cronkite said about Vietnam, you know, when I've lost Walter Cronkite, I've lost the nation. Well, I don't know. When you've lost Shepard Smith over at Fox, you see the parallel?
Well, yes. Yes. Well, the whole context, and that is true what Johnson said about Cronkite. It was in the wake or in the midst of the, in early 68, what was known in Vietnam as the Tet Offensive, when for months going up to that, General Westmoreland, who was the supreme commander for the U.S. forces in Vietnam, and McNamara was still around, I think, or had just left, but the people at the Defense Department, everybody to a person, was saying how smashingly it was going for the U.S. in Vietnam, and that old light at that old end of that old tunnel was right ahead there. And, you know, then during the Tet Lunar New Year celebration in North and South Vietnam, the U.S. decided to go easy on the bombing missions over North Vietnam and kind of let our guard down. Meanwhile, all manner of Vietnamese break bad, up to and including within the gates of the U.S. Embassy in Saigon, now known as Ho Chi Minh City, okay? So there was obviously a non-resonance going on in terms of the state of things in Vietnam. So Cronkite took a crew and went over there and did a report from Vietnam, and his closing piece on the primetime news special, we don't see those anymore, on CBS, ended with him making a statement that was clearly labeled with the super on the screen of opinion, which is a hat that he didn't often wear. I think that may have been the first time. And his words were to the effect, you know, we fought the good fight, but let's do the honorable thing, because it's obvious that we can't win, so the very least we can do is pack up and get out. And that is what prompted LBJ's comment. Well,
yeah,
you know,
no, I knew that. I knew the background on it, just the idea of I mean, does the press have to lead this? Is that a possibility that the press could act, that the media, press is the wrong word, that the media could drag the Republicans kicking and screaming into realizing what it is we're dealing with?
Well, I think it, you know, I'm a strong advocate of the free press, and I remember when we had one. It's been within my lifetime, boys and girls. And, you know, some of it is bought and paid for. Let's face it. Some of it is propaganda that would make TASS and Izvestia and Pravda just blush with embarrassment. Okay, and I'm talking about this country. You know, you talk about fake news. There's plenty of it, but it's not where Trump says it's coming from. So we've got that. But yeah, the point of the press is, you know, you've got the three branches of government, but you've also got the, what is supposed to be a free, unencumbered media who can speak, in a sense, on behalf of the people to say, look, despite what they may be telling you, there's another side to this story, and it's our job to tell that side of the story, you know, to put a magnifying glass over it and have you look at it, whether you want to or not, in the hopes that there'll be enough people out there in TV or radio land to say, yeah, they're right, something needs to be done. So, yeah, they will be a good advocate to the extent that they will be a good advocate for keeping this machine going. And by this machine, I don't mean what Trump said at the press conference today, his administration.
Yeah, it wasn't well oiled. What was it? Finely tuned. And that's the laugh line, isn't it? My administration's running like a finely tuned machine.
So why is it that I got instantaneously pictures in my head of Jack Benny's Maxwell chugging and wheezing?
Well, because you're of a certain age, Scott. You just lost a whole lot of the Horn Family Community Congregation there, but no. Now they'll look up Jack Benny's Maxwell.
Yeah, done by the incomparable Mel Blanc on radio. That was not a sound effects record. That was good old Mel.
Yeah, the
yeah. And I had the privilege, just to do a side note, of doing one of the last interviews with him by phone about a year or so before he died. Wonderful human being. I wish I could get that transferred from a big old reel-to-reel tape into a digital form, because that was, God, that must have been 88. And, you know, audio tape doesn't last forever. But another thing that the truth seekers and fun lovers can look up as a song that came out the summer of 73, a year before Nixon resigned, it was called Holderman, Ehrlichman, Mitchell, and Dean. And it was a song done in barbershop harmony.
Oh, it wasn't. It wasn't a parody of Abraham, Martin, and John.
No. It was Holderman, Ehrlichman, Mitchell, and Dean by the Creep, which was the acronym for Nixon's reelection.
Yeah, because I'll tell you a little secret. I actually watched all the President's Men last night.
Uh oh.
I just needed a story of an out of control presidency with a happy ending.
Yeah, there you go. Well, that would be the story. But it's on YouTube, Holderman, Ehrlichman, Mitchell, and Dean. And one of the lines is relevant now. Whatever we say isn't quite what we mean. We're Holderman, Ehrlichman, Mitchell, and Dean, you know?
Yep.
And or maybe in this context, they do mean it. But to put a bow on this, you know, before I go away, the Republicans in Congress are going to have to make a choice here pretty soon. And early indications are they're not making a good choice. If the heads of these committees who are supposed to investigate Russia and this Flynn deal are saying that the problem here is not what Flynn did or didn't do, it's the leaks about what Flynn did or didn't do, then we're back in the throes of Watergate, in the sense that as bad as what you did was, it's always the cover-up that brings you down.
Sure.
Okay.
Well, it's just like the story that broke about Flynn today. He apparently, you know, the FBI has the transcripts of the phone calls, both sides. And they said, so did you discuss sanctions with Mr. Kislyak? No, we never did that. Yeah, no, he lied to the FBI.
Well,
which
did you hear,
not okay.
In the course of what we are laughingly referring to as Trump's press conference today, there was a segment where Trump's response to whatever the question was regarding Flynn and what was said or unsaid was like a kid whose baseball has gone astray and broken Mr. Smith's window across the way. And Trump came across to me like a kid trying to explain it, okay? And it was like, you know, well, if we were playing baseball and a ball was involved with the playing of baseball, which we may or may not have been doing, the fact that Mr. Smith's window got broken, you know, and just, I mean, if a kid, I've never been a parent, but I was a kid once, if a kid gave some of the bullshit explanations that Trump is trying to pawn off on America and the world, he'd go into timeout mode in a pretty quick hurry, you know? But yet, here we are, and the Republicans seem totally oblivious to it. Or maybe they know and just don't want to deal with it. There could be that.
Oh, there could be. There could be. Well, Scott, you have yourself a good evening. We'll try to hang dearly on to sanity here, and hopefully we'll talk soon.
All right. Hang in there, man.
And tell Punky I appreciate the input.
Okay. He's just as concerned as the rest of us, but he, luckily, if it gets to be too much, he can fly around the room doing figure eights until he calms down. I wish I could.
Well, sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
If you hear a loud noise emanating from out west, it was me trying to do those figure eights.
Whack!
Oh. Yeah.
Boom.
All right.
All right. See you, Scott.
Bye-bye.
Bye. That's our buddy Scott out in San Diego with his faithful companion, the figure eight flying Punky the Cockatiel. You know, Oh, that's good, Arthur. We can rebuild him. We have the technology. Starting this spring, Donald Trump is the 6,000 ruble man. That ain't a lot of rubles. Well, hey, let's check in and try again with Steve from Georgistan, shall we?
Hey, Bob, what's going on?
What do you know, Steve?
I don't know what went on with that stress line. I mean,
yeah, that was a new one on me. Usually it's people can't hear.
Because everybody can hear us. I mean, everybody in the chat room and everybody can hear us, but you, for whatever reason, you couldn't hear me. And oddly enough, and I don't want to waste too much time on this, I had my media player paused, and when I hit it, I could hear where you hang up with the other guy, and then I could hear me, and you could hear me, but for whatever reason, you could not hear me, so let's just not waste too much time on that.
Well,
so,
that's okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Windstream is strange, man.
Skynet.
Yeah. But the reason I wanted to talk to you, Bob, is now, I don't want to do an armchair analysis, but you, as you know, my mom has dementia. You know, I have her in an assisted living center, and I have seen this disease from the onset.
And right up close.
Yeah, and personal. And there are a lot of parallels, and I don't want to frighten anybody, because like I said, I'm not a doctor.
No. You're not Dr. Steve from Georgistan. Everybody understands that. But you know what? We share. People are experts in their own lives. And to that degree, you know, you are more than competent to discuss what you've seen and any parallels that you've identified. So, you know, don't be afraid.
Absolutely. Well, you know, Trump has probably always been narcissistic. My mom never had a narcissistic bone in her body until she got this affliction. Then the whole universe turned inward and everything was about her. Everything. That's one point I wanted to make. scattered thoughts. Do you remember how he was just rambling today and just jumping from point to point and then back to point? And that's another thing that mom will do occasionally or often. And repetitiveness. How many times did he say, and this started yesterday, that he won and he kept giving his Electoral College win statistics over and over and over again?
I know. I mean, it's a while back in my own personal experience, but I watched my grandmother descend into the harrowing and tragic and sorrowful depth of senile dementia, and the repetitiveness is a function of it.
Yeah, and
it's like like not being able to break out of a loop.
Right. Normal people don't do that. They'll make their point once. Hey, I won by this many electoral points, and they won't bring it up 2 minutes later. It's almost, and it's weird, Bob. Mom can remember what happened 50 years ago, but she can't remember what happened 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, short-term memory is just...
Yeah, it's a different floor of the elevator of the mind, so... And like I said, I don't want to make, you know, an armchair analysis, but I would not be surprised if the man did not have dementia. I hope he doesn't. I wouldn't wish that on anybody, you know. And the way he insults
it's a real question, Steve.
Yeah, yeah.
And it precedes an even more terrifying question. And once again, there's what makes it even more terrifying is history. Because we know that Ronald Reagan was well into his descent into Alzheimer's before he ever left the White House.
But at least the caveat there, Bob, at least Ronald had Nancy. Yeah.
Yeah, the thing is,
somebody could steer the ship. There's nobody steering the ship.
He also had a cabinet, and the cabinet didn't do a goddamn thing. So to the extent that I've been talking about the 25th Amendment, if there is a fatal flaw in the 25th Amendment, it lies in the fact that it relies upon the cabinet, and cabinets are chosen for, among other things, loyalty.
Well, do you think the cabinet didn't do anything because they knew Nancy was at the helm and they knew that she had a modicum of sense? You think that may have been something?
Well, it's pure speculation. I think it's because they were terrified of the American people.
And another symptom is mom will insult you, cut you down in a heartbeat now, which before she got this affliction, she was the perfect, you know, perfect Southern belle that would never think of doing that, you know, of insulting or calling somebody
right. And that's, you know, that's a manifestation of.
Right.
Of repressing urges to speak freely all one's life, and then that filter gets turned off. The same thing happened with my grandmother.
Yep.
She would she was a very intelligent woman.
Yep.
And she was pretty well tactful, although she didn't hesitate to tell somebody when they were damn fool.
And call him out.
But she got to where she'd sit, house guest would be over and she'd look at him, isn't it time for you to leave?
Yeah, exactly. Or just insult you. You know, like, you're getting fat or you're gaining weight or it's something she would have never done 15 years ago. It's just, it changes the personality. And one of the weirdest, ones is, and of course we don't know if this applies to Trump or not, and this is kind of comical, her libido shot through the roof. She's chasing around these old men in the nursing home like, you know, candy in a candy store, man.
Oh, man. That does happen. That does happen.
Yeah.
Which, again, is a function of losing that ability to...
The id goes... So
the id moves in under new management.
Yeah, Exactly. And like I said, I didn't want to keep you long. I just wanted to toss that out to you as a table of discussion. Because I do see some parallels here that are quite alarming, and Karen.
Well, you know, the one that lit me up when Theresa May, the UK Prime Minister, came over, and he was walking along, and he suddenly grabbed her hand, and it was subsequently explained that he has a terror of slopes and stairs because he's scared to death of falling.
Hmm. Yeah,
and that was something that I witnessed in my grandmother. Of course, it was a little different with her because, 40 years before she'd gotten run over by a car and gotten both knees broken, and I swore she'd never walk again, and she did by her own grit and determination. People are inundated daily. Well, I don't know. Does it run so much anymore? I don't pay much attention to television. Help me! I've fallen and I can't get up. I mean, we've sort of been taught to be terrified of that, right?
Yes. And I don't know. It's going to get to the point where he's not even going to be aware that he is falling. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And the thing is, the way things tend to go is if he begins to go south, we will see less and less of him. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. He'll just disappear. I mean, but who are they going to put up there?
Then the decisions will be made, and it'll be downright Soviet. You know, you remember when, remember during the days of the Soviet Union when we wouldn't hear from the Soviet strongman for 60, 90 days, and the speculation would begin to go, well, he's dead.
But
I mean, who was the guy that was that preceded Gorbachev? There was one guy that he showed up and waved his fragile hand from the balcony of the Kremlin, and then nobody ever saw him again.
That's not the one that beat his shoe on the
no,
the
that's
desk.
Khrushchev.
Okay, you talking about the guy that looked like he had a map on his bald head?
No, that's Gorbachev.
Okay. So you're speculating that you think he may have had dementia? Is that?
No,
what
no, no. I'm saying that he was just
crazy.
Oh, let's see. Where is he? Oh, there he is. Okay. So there was Leonid Brezhnev, and he held power 1964 to 1982. He kicks the bucket, and along comes Yuri Andropov. And he's 12 November 1982 to 9 February 1984. And, he shows up, and then he's not there anymore. And he's followed by Konstantin Chernenko. He made it for... he's the one, immediately before Gorbachev. Konstantin Chernenko, 13 February 1984 to 10 March 1985. He waved, and we never saw him again.
It's interesting, very interesting. And there's also another element, and I can't make blanket statements because probably every person with dementia is a little bit different, but they become very paranoid too. Like everybody's out to get them, or everybody's out to steal from them, or that, that's another aspect that Trump seems to have. That he thinks that, the whole press corps is against him. With the exception of, Christian Broadcasting News and townhall.com. Prior to this press conference, that's the only two he would call on, people he knew that were in his corner.
And that's another aspect of the whole thing, Steve. There's a component of impulsivity. And kind of like when Mama says, putting on a little weight, aren't you? Yeah, just say the first thing that comes to mind. This press conference, something like a presidential press conference, unless it's a, big deal, major at, going to war with somebody or something like that, or, you know, we've been attacked, or, you know, one of those moments where the president just needs to speak to the people. Press conferences are generally planned. Do you know when this press conference came about?
I want to say sometime this afternoon, wasn't it?
10 o'clock this morning. And he just looks up and says, I want a press conference, the way some people say, I want waffles.
And do you think they were trying to just put out fires from all this, you know, Russian hacking thing and his cabinet member being fired within, you know, I've had cheese last longer than the time that he,
wait a minute, time out. Yeah, you get one for that. Oh, well, here, check this out. I didn't realize this. I'd missed this in all the chaos and Sturm und Drang. Carol just pointed out to me, six White House staffers were removed from the administration on Thursday for failing an FBI background check, according to Politico. Sources told the publication that the staffers were escorted from the building on Wednesday after they didn't pass form SF-86, the questionnaire for national security positions. A successful response to the form is required for security clearance. And Carol said, this is the finely tuned machine 45 was rambling about? Yeah. And maybe that's why you have the press conference, to get everybody talking about something else instead of pointing out the fact that he can't pull together a competent, a competent staff.
Oh, yeah. Well, Bush was famous for that. You know, Bush Jr., don't look over here, look over here. So, yeah, that's a good point, too.
Jesus.
We're in a heck of a mess. But, Bob, I'm going to get out of here and let you take on another call. I just wanted to table that.
Oh, yeah, I'm glad you did. And we'll be, who knows what we'll be talking about by Friday on the front porch, right?
Yeah, who knows. But we appreciate you. Everybody out there can hear me. Let's help Brother Bob out, man.
Hey, and good news. Frank got us started. We are now down to $300 to go for the evening. So thank you, Frank. Thank you very kindly.
Yeah, thanks, Frank. And I will, wait,
so you're at home, right?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, Cletus is such a good little puppy. She's a good girl.
Well, she can't hear you.
Oh, that's right. She can't hear me now. Never mind.
Yeah, I got the headphones on. But if you want to do it in 10 minutes, I'm going to put you back on speaker. So.
All right. I'll try.
I'll
try to remember to do that, assuming it works out.
She goes nuts when you don't broadcast. She's under my feet, and she drives me crazy. Something about your voice, it soothes her. You know, the last couple of weeks have been rough, man.
She doesn't run under the bed when I start screaming or anything?
No. No, when you're broadcasting, she lays by the speaker in her little bed and just curls up and goes to sleep. So.
Oh, we need to take a picture of that and turn it into a meme.
Pepe! Have a good one, Bob.
See you, Steve. Bye now. 8 minutes past the hour. And yeah, really, thank you, Frank, for getting us started. That's very, very helpful and much appreciated. Now we just need, you know, one at 300, two at 50, two at 150, three at 100, four at 75, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. By the way, just a little factoid out there for your consideration, Graham. Up over down under said, I just heard that the 14 states that voted in the highest numbers for the bald Kliegel. Wait a minute. They are also the 14 states that have the highest pharma opioid use. And that I know, you know, this West Virginia voted in the highest numbers for plugs, has an average of 433 opioid pills per person annually. Yes. Annually. Graham asks, does this explain why the Trumpsters are enjoying this shit fest? No, but it might explain why they goddamn well voted for him. Oh, and by the way, during that thing that happened today, calling it a press conference is an insult to, you know, real press conferences. I don't know. We're going to have to work on that. We're going to have another word for these when going forward. But one of the things he said is when the conversation turned to Flynn, he said, "Well, I've got a great replacement coming to be my national security advisor. He's beautiful." And, you know, rambled. And he's talking about Robert Harward. He was a former deputy commander of U.S. Central Command. And he was given the offer of being national security advisor. And Robert Harward said, "No, thanks there, buddy. No, I'll take a pass on that. Nuh-uh." Now that ship looks a little that rusty bucket looks a little leaky for me, and seeing as how the rats are getting off, I ain't getting on. No. Randy and PA and James both said Andropov, as did Darlene in Connecticut. Yep, Yuri Andropov. That's our boy. Meanwhile, Steve, a member of the fraternity of Steve, "Hail Marcus Registratus. I fail to see what is so unsettling about the latest news. The U.S. has a president who, for the past 30-plus years, has made a great deal of his fortune by doing business with the Russians, the old Soviet Union. It is more than likely he is the business tycoon he is today only because of the Russians, and that he owes them, shall we say, a lot of favors. The U.S. has a president who is not interested in being president, quite simply because he's never been interested in being president and being anything except Trump. No matter that or how, he's there. He told you long ago in words and actions that he has never been interested in public office. The U.S. has a president who long ago converted himself into a trademark, a brand name, to such extent that this is in fact what he does. The Trump brand is leased out to anyone, any government, willing to pay for the name, the product. Well, here's your product. It's what America does. Hail Marcus Registratus! Debrand yourself if you dare. Regards, Steve, in China." Well, it's true. It's true. But what's unsettling about it, Steve, is the fact... he's incurious. We'll take that as read. But this is a dangerous world. And he seems to be making it much more dangerous. So let's take a quick break. It's about 13 past, and then I'll come right back to the phones. If you're on hold, please stay that way. And hopefully we'll knock down this $300 fundraising hole by a buck here and a buck there. Hopefully. Listener-supported conversation radio is what this is. This is The Horn. I admit it, I kind of wanted to hear the song.
Quiver in my lips.
It just struck me, and I kind of felt like I wanted to hear it. 10,000 Maniacs, Natalie Merchant, and Like the Weather. Love that song. It is 17 minutes past the hour, and I did something, and I hope neither person will be offended. Tracy was on hold, and then I saw Todd in South Carolina calling in, so I decided to hook the two phone calls together, and so that nobody had to miss out. Hey Tracy, hey Todd.
Hey, hey.
Hi Tracy.
Can you hear me?
I hear you just dandy.
Man, this motherfucker here.
I know.
I mean, I know you saw my fever text to you earlier this morning. I was just like, for you this afternoon. And I'm sitting there, what is the word, gobsmacked? Because I'm going...
Yeah, you mean the one where your mouth's just hanging open catching flies?
Because I was catching poor Kimba, because Jan had left, and I was in the house by myself, and I'm screaming at the TV. And if I hadn't spent as much money as I spent on my television, I probably would have thrown something at it. But I love my TV a hell of a lot more than, you know, I'm not about to defile my TV. But goddamn, this shit, I turned it off. I got to as far as the last thing I heard, the last question that I heard was the reporter that was asking him about the Electoral College. And then I just couldn't take it anymore. So I missed the young man with the asked about the, you know, the anti-Semitism, you know.
Sit down and shut up. That. Yeah, that one.
And of course I missed the sister asking about the, you know, cause all, you know, we all, Todd, I didn't know this. I forget that since we all black, we all hang out together, right?
You all, right. You know, yeah, you don't just hang out. Y'all all know each other.
We, cause I, and.
There are meetings, right?
We all have meetings, and weekly, I don't know. Did I miss last week's meeting? Because I guess Elijah.
you know what? Tracy, you know, April was so, she handled that. Like, I couldn't have done that.
Class.
That's the word. I mean, damn.
Because, I mean, okay, I'm, this is Bob being painfully white. The only when I heard that, and you know, April Ryan is a really, you know, she seems like a really nice and a person and a solid journalist. It's not like you hate her on sight, like say, you know, some of the others, because you just know they're so full of themselves. Plus, I also was aware of the fact that Omarosa had gotten all up in her face a couple of days ago.
Oh, yes. There was a smack. There was almost a smackdown between Omarosa.
No, there was almost an arrest. But.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Omarosa.
All up in her face.
Omarosa accused her of being in the pay of Hillary Clinton.
Oh, Jesus, Hillary Clinton. Oh, my God.
April didn't break her neck.
No, and see, that's the thing. When he started talking back to April, I did it. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm going to get email over this. I apologize. Jesus, I'm doing Donald Trump hand gestures. Thank God there's no fucking video for this program. But I just wanted her to get all Aunt Esther up in his face.
You know what I'm saying? I wanted to see the neck. You know the neck. You know, you know what I'm saying with the neck. Tracy, you know what I'm talking about, right?
And you know what I mean? You know, you remember Aunt Esther, right?
Oh, yeah, of course. I wanted her, actually, if I had seen her, I would have preferred her with the pocketbook on her, dangling on her arm, with her hand on her hip, and like, you know, and with her Sunday, you know, going meeting the Sunday hat on, going, you, what did you fish eye fool?
Right. I'm surprised she didn't say, wait, what did you say? What did you say? I'm serious.
I mean, she just got off, fresh off the face of an Omarosa attack. And now she has to deal with this shit.
Well, you know what? I say I'm very happy now. Finally, the rest of America is catching up to us and recognizing that this this mentally ill fascist really does have a mental illness issue. And you can't hide it anymore.
But the problem is, Todd, it doesn't matter. they know. See, here's the deal. It's not like they don't know. It's like, what was that speech that Ice Cube does in Boys in the Hood? It's like, they don't care. They just,
they don't care.
You know, they either they know, they don't know, but they don't care what's going on. Because, like, you know, I was, you know, they're so excited. And so, you know, they got their biggest wet dream ever. Their boy is the president.
They are so tantalizingly close to achieving their dreams. I mean, they've been waiting to kill Social Security since the day it was passed in the 1930s, okay? And
exactly.
The day is finally here. And they are not going to let him be in crazier than a sprayed roach at a decon party. They are not going to let their dreams up.
No. Hey, you guys remember that story, the emperor wears no clothes, right?
Sure, sure.
This is what we're dealing with, except I agree with you, Bob, what you said the other night and just what you said just now. They're going to extract everything. They're going to use him for everything he's worth for right now because they know he's about to get used up. So they're going to try to get as much legislation through as they can in their wet dream, in the speaker's wet dream book, if you understand what I'm saying. You know, all the good legislation that they want before he goes down, because it's obvious he's going. It's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time.
I mean, when you watch this man, what was it when he was talking about the how quickly he'll get what did he say about the manufacturing? What did I text you? Oh shit!
What did he say, Bob, about?
No, about how, he was going on and on about how he was going to, you know, that, that the reject, you know, how long it takes for manufacturers or factories to get built. And he said, there will be, you know, it takes forever, but if there's a rejection, it'll be a quick rejection with me. And I said, well, is that the same as a premature ejaculation?
Yes.
I mean, seriously.
What? I missed that.
No, he just opens. No, he just opens his mouth and words tumble out. Well, because we've been talking about potential mental issues. I want to throw this out there because this is kind of important. You know, there was a list that came out a couple of weeks ago of the meds that he takes.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is a hair loss med.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's finasteride, which goes by the name of Propecia.
Mm-hmm. Propecia, yep.
Well, Cheryl reminds me, and you can look it up. I mean, it's documented out there. Those meds can bring about symptoms of dementia. I mean, there have been people, and it's quite concerning. There have been people who have suicided after being on that stuff.
I don't think that's prescribed that much anymore. But people are using the Rogaine and this other meds. They don't really use Propecia like passe now, isn't it?
It works for some.
If it's working for him, you think he's, you know, it doesn't matter. He's a white guy. And, you know, this is the same, you know, it's in the same school of thought that I don't care if it's a erection that will last for 4 hours. If it's going to give me a hard-on, I'm going to take this shit. So what if I go crazy? At least my hair, I'll have a full head of hair. Kind of sort of like that.
There's a story over at Huffington Post. That loopy hippy-dippy doctor that said he's the healthealthiest man on earth, Harold N. Bornstein.
The Grateful Dead dude, right.
Okay. Yeah, finasteride is also used in treating prostate-related problems.
Mm-hmm.
But he takes it for his hair. And the problem is, here's a quote from the magazine Men's Journal. The FDA-approved pill has been called into question with emerging research and a slew of lawsuits suggesting that finasteride may be more dangerous than previously believed. Users report that its side effects, inability to orgasm, painful erections, chronic depression, insomnia, brain fog, and suicidal thoughts can last long after patients stop taking the pill. There have been at least 1,245 lawsuits filed against Merck, the manufacturer of Propecia, alleging failure to warn users of sexual and cognitive side effects. But that list, chronic depression, insomnia. Who sits up and tweets at 3 a.m.? Brain fog, suicidal ideations.
You know what? I never told you this, but you know my degree is in psychology. I know I don't ever told you that. But he's got, it was so obvious that he has so many issues. And for somebody like him, he's displaying all those things. He's got arrested development. You know, he's got all kinds of borderline issues. And you're not supposed to.
I don't think it's borderline anymore, Todd. I think we've crossed the border.
I know, but that's what they say.
I'm just being funny. We've made a run for the border, baby. We have crossed it. This motherfucker is just, it's just stone cold nuts. And this is coming from somebody who is going to say that.
You know,
and I'm not even supposed to say shit like that.
But this Propecia thing, I mean, that is like way back. That goes, and see, I'm thinking now, you know, I'm thinking about, remember when he had that spat with his ex-wife, where she sent him to the hair plug guy, and he did a bad job, and that's why he had to do that swirl over whatever he does in his hair, because he's got a big bald spot on one part of his head. So, knowing his personality, if the prescription said take two, he would take eight because he can't stand the fact that his shoes all fucked up. You know what I mean? He's that type of person. I mean, he's always been a dick. Always.
Well, there's that.
That's what I'm saying. He's always been a dick. And then you get crazy, you know, dimension crazy on top of being a dick. You know, that's a lot to deal with.
And if you want to do the deep reading, before I ever even heard he was on it, for some reason or another, I ran across an article. Maybe I was worrying about my own little bald spot. Okay, it's not so little. But
give me both up.
I looked it up, and I found a story about all these horrifying suicides and miseries, and. Look up the history of how it was discovered. It should be a movie. It was, so let me see if I can pull this together. Like a cultural anthropologist had studied a group of natives somewhere who didn't go bald. The guys just didn't have a baldness problem. And so they started working to find out why. No, maybe that's... Oh, what was it? But somewhere along the way, this hair loss remedy came into it. And boom. You've got people who just... You know, because, I mean, everybody knows there's that kid who, you know, there's the young man in school who's going bald before he's in 10th grade.
Right.
And you know, baldness is not anything, you know, it just is. Unfortunately, it is the big, you know, visible vanity of men.
And women. I told you I had the hairline of Stevie Wonder.
Oh, see.
That's.
But you've got a grill of the kings.
Yeah, apparently people have taken this stuff and just terrible things happen.
Yeah, if I remember right, wait a minute. There's a pill, but there's a liquid too, isn't it?
No, Rogaine can be taken pill or cream form. I don't know if Propecia can or not.
Okay. But what that's telling us is that breaks the blood-brain barrier. Obviously, it's got correlations with dementia and things like that. And there's only so many substances that break the blood-brain barrier. You know, that's like the big deal. That's like the holy grail. So that's some fucked up shit. You know, so this guy is this. Oh man, I have MSNBC on. I'm looking at him right now, and you know. The whole world is like, what the fuck? Enough. You know, stop this train wreck. You know, come on. What the fuck, man? You have to know. You can chide, you can elbow the intelligence agency, but those people are going to be there long. When you're dead and gone, they'll still be there. And their kids will be there. Don't fuck with those people. Dumbass. Don't fuck with them. So, he ain't no way he can get out of this shit because he's made them look like assholes. So they know things, I really always thought they would start giving him false information because he didn't pass the first test. Because you remember a few weeks ago, he was saying, "Well, I know. Believe me, I know more than you know. I know." You know, it's like, well, I got these, you know, I know.
Oh, no, yeah, and it goes all the way back. I mean, I remember when he was on the campaign trail and he was talking about how, you know, I'm smarter than the generals. I know more than the generals know.
Yeah, don't say that. That's not going to win you any friends.
No, and you know what, hey, let me take a moment here and interject. I want to send out big thanks to Gary. Otherwise known in the chat room as Laborman. Laborman just put a $150 challenge on the table. And, you know,
Laborman's great.
And we've got $300 in fundraising to go to stay even so that we've just got tomorrow night to deal with. And Laborman says, challenge on the table, Horndonistas. Let's get her did. And so hopefully that will happen. We got 26 minutes left in the program. If we got, you know, if 10 to 30 people send 10 bucks or 10 people send 30 or what, then Gary's challenge can be met and we'll be out of the hole and we'll be right on track for the end of the week tomorrow. So thank you, Gary. Thank you very, very kindly. I hope people will respond. By the way, quick update on Admiral Harward, who decided he didn't want the National Security Advisor job after all. You know, back to that finely tuned machine. Usually you don't extend the offer until somebody's,
Hadn't even asked?
Well,
hadn't even asked the man before.
Well, I mean, here's how it plays. I mean, usually you say, okay, I want you to be my guy, happy to be your guy, and you go out and say, I've extended it. They come up with the podium, and he gives them the tug-of-war handshake, and, well, I'm very proud. Apparently that didn't happen because he's turned it down, and Jake Tapper just reported, Carol Baker letting me know, a friend of Harward's says he was reluctant to take the NSA job because the White House seems, quote, so chaotic. And Harward's buddy says he called the offer a shit sandwich.
Man.
Ooh. Remember what you were saying about what we should be calling press conferences now? You've already named them, Bob. Fecal tsunami.
Well, true. It, yeah. Because it's way on up past shitstorm, isn't it?
It is. I mean, it's, at this point, the man that he picked. So you haven't even talked to the. Well, this is the same one that said, well, I talked to Elijah Cummings, and, you know, and. It was a good talk, and Brother Man starts like, "What the fuck?"
Hey, right.
Hey Tracy.
Yes, love.
I want to make my little interjection right now, really very quickly. It's wonderful to interact with you because I think that you are a real person. I know you're a real person, but I'm just saying that
yeah.
you display everything that real people should display. If there were more Tracys in the world, this world would be a better place. That's what I'm trying to
say. Oh, see, Todd, that's, you know what? I appreciate that. And I'm at this point because, you know, the last week has been a really hard week for me. I've been sick. I've been, whatever's,
I know a lot of it's probably stress, but I haven't really eaten a decent, I haven't been able to eat since Sunday. And if I mean, I'm a lesbian, so I know I'm not pregnant. But go ahead, laugh, Bob. Go ahead, laugh.
I had the mic muted. I'm being a good boy.
Bob was laughing.
But this is something, and I went to the doctor, and I know it's distress. And I'm one of those persons, you know, when we're talking about, you know, all the joking and laughing aside about mental illness, I have serious issues with mental illness, and I internalize. When I get upset, I internalize, and I my body just goes insane on itself. And I don't eat. I just get really depressed. And this last week has just been really bad. But watching that, now, yesterday's press conference was bad, but watching and I didn't really watch it. Jan actually called me screaming because, you know, she's Jewish. And so, you know, with the second state, first state, I don't know, let's go to, you know, the Garden State, but fuck, I don't know. So yesterday, and I hadn't watched it, then I watched today. Watching today's press conference pissed me off enough that I'm feeling slightly better, because I'm like, again, I can't give in to the crazy. I mean, when I say give in to the crazy and not my own issues with mental illness, but the crazy that is Donald Trump. But mental health issues are no joke. I get so depressed that I have to remind myself to breathe. I get so depressed that getting up to take the fact that I changed my clothes is huge. That's just how bad it gets for me sometimes. So wow. I think Trump, Horn family, y'all have Trump to thank for me being almost back to my fighting attitude. Did you see what I posted on my Facebook page today about what did I say? This mediocre, had this been our president, had this been Barack Obama, had this been him today, had this been him, and he had said this unintelligible.
Oh, no, he'd have been, they'd have dragged him out of the White House.
They would have been, he would have had a stroke on national television. But no, this motherfucking mediocre white boy is okay, so he gets his stupid ass a pass. Fuck you, you goddamn it, no. See, that's just how pissed off I got today. That's just how pissed off I got to the point that, oh yeah, oh no, this shit will not stand. I'm feeling like, what's his name from The Lord of the Rings? You shall not pass. This is how I'm feeling right now.
Fly, you fools.
You know what? It's like,
I'm about to make things a little more bizarre and worser.
Worser. I thought
That's what I'm saying. This is I'm a practitioner of the art of word knowing, and I know when to say worser. I also have good news. We are, thanks to Don in Central PA and Ralphs and Charlene, we are only $45 away from meeting Labor Man's challenge. Got 19 Woo-hoo! Minutes to do it in. Woohoo! So get this. We all know, for instance, that, say, like McGuffey's Reader. Remember, we've all heard of McGuffey's Reader, right? The beloved book series on which America learned to read back in the day.
Kind of thing?
Yeah, a century or more ago.
And
McGuffey's Reader was horribly, horribly, horribly racist.
Oh, yeah.
Negroes didn't know how to read,
so what difference does it make? Bob?
Well, and it had, you know, word problems and math and reading and everything. And so, I mean...
Oh, you're not about to do the thing about the cotton picking
so,
in California, are you?
So, here... don't ruin it.
Okay.
Here's a word problem. I always hated the word problems.
Uh-oh.
The master...
Here you go.
The master needed 192 slaves to work on plantation in the cotton fields.
Wait a minute. Stop. Are you fucking reading that? That's
no, let him talk. No, you got to let him finish. Let him finish, baby. Let him finish.
Oh, my God.
You just best be grateful I ain't doing it in dialect, okay?
Damn. Just breathe while he's talking, bro. Come on now. Just rule motherfucking saw. Let him finish.
The master needed 192 slaves to work on plantation in the cotton fields. The fields could fill 75 bags of cotton. Only 96 slaves were able to pick cotton for that day. The missus, spelled M-I-S-S-U-S, the missus needed them in the big house to prepare for the annual picnic. How many more slaves are needed in the cotton fields?
I
can't cipher worth a damn, so I don't know the answer.
I can't get beyond the language. I can't even fucking process it. Anymore.
No, it's going to get worse. I told you, Todd, I use words for a reason. I don't just do things. This is a math homework problem from Windsor Hills Elementary School in Los Angeles, California, February 2017.
Tracy, you better address that issue immediately.
Well, see, the answer, as I think somebody actually wrote this because I posted it on my Facebook page or somebody posted, the answer is how many boxes will it take for her to get her shit up, to pack her shit up in the classroom?
But I mean, I'm looking at an actual scan of the thing, of the problem, and it looks like it came out of some prepared damn book.
Right. And here, okay, and for those of you guys who don't know, Windsor Hill is...
Well, that was my next question. That's why I brought it up. I need a little geography help.
Okay, so Windsor Hills, California, is a very highfalutin suburb. It's like... You got Windsor Hills, you got Leimert Park, you got Ladera Heights, you got Baldwin Hills. Basically, those are upper middle class black folks. Okay, those are black folks. Those are the houses that when black folks started getting a little change in their pockets, when they could move west of Crenshaw, and they started moving up into Windsor Hills and up in Angeles Crest and Angeles Vista and stuff like that. That's when the white folks moved out and started moving into the valley in the 70s, in the 70s. When they start desegregating, you need to start, you know, when they start red lighting and stuff like that. So you got folks with money up in Windsor Hills, okay? So like you said.
Second graders, just saying.
When I saw that, because like I said, when I saw it, when I first saw it, I thought it was something from, you know, a long time ago.
McGuffey's Reader.
Right. And yes. The thing is...
Old Mars don't want the cotton rotting in the fields. Yeah.
And my question is, for the teacher, was this supposed to be something for Black History Month? Was that the justification for he or she... to think that it was okay.
Is that what this is? Is this a Frederick Douglass question? Who's doing more and more people think he's doing so well?
Hey, Tracy, teachers have a lot of leeway. You have a lot of leeway in your classroom, especially if the principal thinks you're doing a good job. They don't really look at your lesson plan. The only time somebody will look at your lesson plan is when they say you're out for illness.
I may have created some confusion here because Scott and Punky are having a plum conniption down in San Diego. Wait, this was in a public school? I only thought the McGuffey. This ain't out of McGuffey.
No,
That's the whole point. This is a modern... Yes, and it's in a public school.
Let me ask you a question. To me, the way I heard it from you, and if I'm wrong, please correct me quickly. It sounded like you said it was like a copy, like what we back in the day we said mimeograph of a printed page. That's what you said it looked like, right?
It's kind of brownish. It looks like it's been pulled out of a workbook.
Yeah, because I'm familiar. I know what you're talking about with the McGuffey Reader, because that was like the...
Well, I mean, that's what I would have expected out of it. But, I mean, look, this thing blew what's left of my hair backwards like that old Maxell tape commercial, okay?
Right?
Because, I mean, I'm a white guy who had a public school education in Alabama, okay? And I had some magnificent public school teachers. And I can tell you, neither in second grade, third, nor any other in Alabama did I ever have a question about old Marsh needing the cotton picked. No southern state would have the gall.
No, exactly.
Because there would be round the clock marches and boycotts.
You know what cotton picking is, your mother fool, God.
It's a word problem. So in other words, you can just—it's a variable. The word is that variable. They're all just like blank spaces. You can insert anything you want in there. Why use those scenarios? It's not necessary. So you think you're being funny? I mean, what's the motivation there? I like what Tracy asked some good questions. She said,
yeah, I mean, is it a Black History Month thing?
Right, exactly.
I mean, is this how we open the door to talk about slavery? Because I really don't think you have to open that door. I mean, you can just talk about it.
Yeah, I don't need that. You don't
this
need
is the wrong
a special
climate
invitation.
This is the wrong time.
You don't need a special invitation to talk about slavery. I mean, I just, like Todd said, this is the wrong climate to be talking about, to even broach the subject about cotton picking. I mean, this, like you said, you wouldn't even expect to see that shit in a southern school, let alone.
Tracy, just a few weeks ago, my next door, well, not next door, one house up, it was a house in between, retired school teacher. She used to walk with this woman every morning. And then one day, the woman, after the Manlio fascist was elected, she said, you know, slavery wasn't a terrible. This woman's truthful. She's straightforward. She said, you know, the woman said, you know, slavery wasn't a terrible thing. And then, you know, I'm not going to waste any more time getting into the context. Just the fact that you would bring that up. And this woman is not, this is like one of the most honest people I've ever met. And she's just a retired, you know, old Black woman school teacher. You know what I'm saying? She's not that old, but she has credibility. This woman is rock solid. She does her own fucking thing. She don't have to ask anybody for anything. When she needs something, she gets it. She got a ride, you know, she just does her thing. You know what I'm saying? When we have wonderful conversations. So when she told me that, that's what the only reason I'm saying all that is that there are people. See, that's what I'm saying. This weirdo fascist who cozied up with the white supremacist that just made it legitimate. This stuff was always here, but they felt ashamed. You see, they don't feel ashamed anymore. And that's what we have to watch out for.
You might be interested to know, Robert in Australia just sent me a story from back in February 2013. Again, February. So I guess, you know, maybe we headline, Math Questions About Killing and Whipping Slaves Cause a Stir at New York City School.
What's up with that?
Say what? I hear what you said. Say that one more time.
February 2013. there was a controversy in New York City over math questions, word problems, about killing and whipping slaves. A teacher at Public School 59 in New York asked fourth graders to write homework questions that blended math and social studies, education officials said. The teacher then used the students' questions, including the slave-related ones, as homework for the class. One question involved a ship with 3,799 slaves. One day, the slaves took over the ship. 1,897 are dead. How many slaves are alive, it asked. Another question said a slave was whipped five times a day and asked students to calculate how many times a month he was whipped.
Damn.
And these are questions submitted during Black History Month. Those were by school children.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot. Hey, you know what? While I have you guys on the line, you know, I learned last year, maybe you guys already know this, because sometimes I'm slow to draw. You know, I try to learn every day, because we never stop learning, I hope. But apparently, I used to think Cinco de Mayo was some kind of frat boy holiday to make people drink beer and buy nasty-ass Corona, which is a fucking... Anyway, let's not get into that. Nasty. But apparently, I listened to a lecture by a professor from some school near L.A., Tracy. This is a professor. And apparently, Cinco de Mayo has something to do with Mexicans being happy that the slaves were being freed during the Civil War. It was like a solidarity type of thing. And I didn't know that.
Cinco de Mayo is simply the anniversary of one battle. Not even Mexican Independence Day.
No, it has nothing to do with that.
But the fact that the Alamo was fought, which one was it, Bob, that when Mexico refused to send back slaves, and they're like, that was what the real, was it that the real issue about the Alamo, remember the fucking Alamo? They're like, we're not sending the slaves back.
Well, yeah, I mean, the origin of the Alamo is the insistence of the Mexican state that slavery not be tolerated in Texas, which was Mexico at the time.
Right.
And so, you know. Davy Crockett hauled up his Tennessee volunteer. No, that was never. But no, David Crockett winds up down there, and all those white men fighting for the rights to own slaves. It was, you know, warm up for the Civil War.
Right, and see, this is that thing about that little pesky thing about history, and how if more people really knew the true history of this country, and if it was taught the way it should be taught. Maybe some of these poor white people will realize that the money class has always been out for themselves. They have never given a damn about y'all, and that you have been sucked. You have been, as Brother Malcolm said, you have been hooked. You have been bamboozled. You have, you know, stopped drinking the Kool-Aid, but they are so invested in, you know, feeling more superior than black folks because, you know, you know, who do you call them? Marvelant? What is it?
Oh, Emery and Marvelline.
Marvelline are definitely more superior than, you know, our former president and first lady, you know. Because why? Because they're white.
Well, I tell you what, Robert is serving
I'm
as
gonna
a,
go upstairs.
Robert is serving as a one-man research department. And he found a story out of Georgia, 2012. Each tree had 56 oranges. If 8 slaves picked them equally, how much would each slave pick?
Oh, my God.
And then there were questions on, and this is Gwinnett County, Georgia. That was the county that Newt Gingrich used to represent, by the way.
I have friends in Gwinnett.
There was another question to ask students to compute the number of beatings a slave got a week and calculate how many baskets of cotton he picked.
Wow.
Yowza.
Wow.
How much is left on the, I know you got to go, but how much is left on the fundraising?
$45.
You got it.
Thank you. Thank you, Tracy. Well, but I got to ask you before you go, the Sparky asked me to ask you. He said, ask Tracy if she's ready for the big storm that's going to hit L.A., tomorrow. Supposed to be the worst storm to hit Southern California in years.
Okay, so not only am I, Sparky's going to get a laugh out of this, I'm not even going to be here. Guess what? I'm going to be in fucking Mammoth. I don't even want to go on this goddamn trip. I had to rent a goddamn car. Had to get goddamn, I had this horrible, horrible feeling that we're going to get snowed in, and I'm going to be really, really pissed. I don't even want to.
Well, I mean, is this one of those where if it's rain, million-dollar mansions are going to slide down hillsides?
Yeah, it's going to be that bad. I live in off in Encino, and there's a, anybody knows, I live off of Burbank Boulevard, and that's the basin. And we have a dam, and when the rain gets really bad, they close the basin, Burbank Boulevard between the 405 and Whitley Avenue. You can't, because the water rises just that high. So you can't even drive through there. Our house is not, we don't have anything to worry about floods or anything like that. But it's going to be a hot mess. We won't even be here. But I have a friend that's house sitting, and he's going to be with Kimba. But I'm not looking forward to this drive tomorrow.
Tracy, you be careful. And I'm terrified.
I'm I don't want to go.
You know what?
I freaked out.
The only time I've been out there, and I see how they build the houses there. And if you've never been on the West Coast, you don't understand. It's just like houses on top of dirt. And when it rains hard, it's a done deal. And Tracy,
these houses look like they're on toothpicks. If I ever have money, and wound up winning the lottery or whatever the fuck, I would never live. I don't ever want to live somewhere where it's one way in and one way out. Fuck that.
Hell, that's a long ass drive. We're talking about Mammoth Lakes.
Yep, 5 hours.
Mono County.
Yep. Might as well be going to Yosemite.
When those roads, that dirt comes down on those roads, and that's it. That's a done deal.
You know, you guys, I don't want to go, but I promised Will's parents, the only reason why I'm going is so Will can spend time with his parents, and they're going skiing. So that's, trust me, this is not going to be something, trust me, I don't do snow.
Did you rent all-wheel drive?
Yeah, I have an all-wheel, four-wheel, Ford Edge, something or another. It's a beautiful car. And I did get, tire cables. And, oh, get this shit, because, they don't know if you're going to need to, they say you have to have them, because if you don't, you'll get turned around. Even if I don't use those bitches, I'm stuck with them because Department of Transportation, so even if I don't use them, I can't return them.
What? Chains? What?
Mm-hmm. Chains.
Ugh. Well, we got to get out of here, I hope you don't mind me doubling y'all two up. So I just wanted to make sure we got both of you in.
You know, I love Cuphead Todd. He's the bee's knees, man. He's the cat's pajamas.
Next time, maybe you and me both, Tracy, will be more of in an eating mood, because I'm still on my lovely little water diet. So I'm not up to a heck of a lot of food porn.
And look, I've already lost 25 pounds, and that's. When I was eating to lose weight, now I've probably dropped another 10 pounds in the last week just because I haven't eaten. So yeah, I don't like forced diets.
No, this is not fun, and I'm getting a little burned out on sugar-free popsicles too. We are past time, but I got to get out of here. Thank y'all.
Good night.
All right, see ya. Todd in South Carolina, Stan, Tracy in Southern California, and it is time to get out of here. Thanks, everybody. Hey, thanks for meeting Laborman's Challenge. That means tomorrow night we've just got a regular $200 fundraising goal, and we're done. How awesome is that? That's way awesome. That's how awesome that is. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you very kindly, Sparky, in the chat room, and briefly, moderator Steve in the chat room. And thanks, of course, to John Fox, Ben Birch, thanks to our news ninjas, thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.